بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. As we said, there is from last week, باب قضاء الحاجة, chapter answering the call of nature. Here he said, when someone is about to enter the toilet, it is recommended for him to say, بسم الله أعوذ بالله من الخبث والخبائث ومن الرجل من الرجس النجس الشيطان الرجيم. Here he said, and when he comes out, should say, غفرانك الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى وعافاني. He should enter with his left foot. This is not translated in your notes. Here he said, it is preferred to the one who intend to enter the خلاء, what we call the toilet, أن يقول, to say, بسم الله أعوذ بالله, بسم الله أعوذ بالله من الخبث والخبائث. الخبث is the male jinn, الشياطين, and خبائث are the females. ومن الرجس النجس, الرجس as we said, the filth, and النجس يعني impure, الشيطان الرجيم, outcasted Satan. What does it mean preferred when you enter the خلاء? Preferred, we said the أحكام are into how many? Five. So one of them is what? Al-istihbab, preferred. It is a hukum shari. This is first. Secondly, al-khala. What does the word khala means? Now he translated it to toilet. But what does it mean? Al-khala is an empty space. Khali is empty. Back in the days of the Prophet ﷺ, there was no toilet. Like you have now, a room inside your house, or a room outside your house, and then you flush the toilet. And they did not have that. They used to walk to a place far away from their residential place, and they do the toilet and come back, answer the call of nature and come back. That place called khala. Now we don't have this. We do not do that. That's why when you go back to the books of fiqh, you find many things don't apply today. It only applies when you are camping. Other than that, doesn't apply today. So many of the things we're going to just go through quickly, and we're not going to go in depth, because as we promised, inshallah, this book, we mainly want to concentrate on the issues that we face today and we use today. So here he said, to say Bismillah, أعوذ بالله من الخبث والخبائث, and the rest of the narration. This hadith, first and foremost, is a weak hadith, which is collected by Ibn Abi Shayba from Anas radiallahu anhu, that when the Prophet ﷺ used to enter the kanif, yani the khala, he used to say all this dua. And the sanad of it is da'if. The sanad of it is da'if. Another hadith which is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. I don't need to translate that, do I? Khalas. Before this dua, is there anything should be done? According to the agreement of all the ulama, that it is preferred, because it is based on many ahadith also, to use for things which are good, the right hand and the right foot. And anything that is considered filth, the right left hand and the left foot. So this is the ulama agreed on that. There is no hadith to say that before you enter the toilet, you have to enter with your left foot. But it is a matter of etiquette which the ulama has agreed upon, that you use your left foot because it is place of filth. Mafhum? So it is preferred to enter with your left foot. Tayyib. Is there any narration to say Bismillah before you enter? There is a hadith narrated by the Tirmidhi, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, he said it's authentic to say Bismillah. So it would go like this: Bismillah, you enter with your left foot, and before you enter, you say Bismillah, because once you enter in your toilet, we're talking now in your toilet, once you enter, you cannot say Bismillah inside, because you are in the toilet now. So you say Bismillah before you enter, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث, and you enter with your left foot. But if you do not remember the hadith in Arabic, can you say it in English? Yes, you can, until you learn Arabic. You should encourage yourself to learn Arabic and not depend on the English.
Do not depend on the English, because we now turned Islam everything to English. So you have to try your best and push yourself to learn this ad'iyah in Arabic. Now, as for the other narrations they came through, there's many narrations. Oh, before we go with that, let me just continue about the wisdom of saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khabath. What is the wisdom of saying this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that inna hadhihi al-hushush muhtadara. Inna hadhihi al-hushush muhtadara. Fa'idha ata ahadukum al-khala' falyaqul a'udhu billahi min al-khubthi wal-khabath. This hushush, these places are muhtadara. The jinn are in it. So when someone come to the khala', let him say, يعني اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. What is محتضرة? There is lots of jinn in there. What is the wisdom of saying غفرانك? Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله, he said about the wisdom to say غفرانك أنه تذكر ثقل الخارج وأذاه فهو يسأل ربه أن يخفف عنه ثقل الذنوب ويخففها عنه. He said he remembers when you say غفرانك, you remember that the heaviness of and the filth, the heaviness and the filth of what comes out. And then, yani, when you say غفرانك, you remember there's filth that come out and the heaviness of it on the body and the problem that causes. So when you come out, you ask your Lord to make your sins lesser in weight upon you and make it light on you. That's why غفرانك, you're asking Allah to lessen your sins, because you remember how this process of removing the najasa has lessened the burden of this najasa, so Allah can lessen the burden of your sins on the Day of Judgment. This is what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah has said in Ighathat al-Lahfan. Now there is other ad'iyah that came. I'm not going to go through them. One of them is what the Imam rahimahullah narrated, but they all come in a hadith da'ifa. Tayyib, what is the ruling on using this ahadith? What is the ruling on using this ahadith? Of course, ya ikhwah, since there is an authentic hadith, there is no need to resort to the weak ahadith. Tayyib, here a point comes up. What is the ruling of using the weak ahadith in issues like this? In fada'il al-a'mal, in targhib and tarhib. I'm not going to go into what every alim have said in the ulama, but I'll give you the summary of all what the ulama said is what Ibn Hajar rahimahullah has summarized, that he put conditions. Because some have opened the door and they used it for everything. Yani, the simple fact is if there is an authentic hadith narrated about something, then there is no need to resort to the weak hadith. True or not, if there is an authentic hadith, there is no need to resort to the weak hadith. Like for example, when you exit the toilet, you say غفرانك. There is another hadith that says, الحمد لله الذي أذهب عني الأذى وعافاني. Praise be to Allah who removed from me the harm and He gave me the afiyah, يعني the health and the well-being. Now this hadith also is weak. But this is common amongst the brothers. Tayyib, we have the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is to say غفرانك. So which is we prefer and which is we use? غفرانك. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said that in the authentic hadith, in the Quran, in the authentic hadith, there is what suffices us. But what about if someone wants to use a story in a khutbah, which has some weakness in it? What about if someone wants to give a lecture about targhib and tarhib, to encourage the brothers and to make him fear the punishment of Allah? If a hadith, a weak hadith comes up, can it be used or not? Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he summed it into three conditions. First, the weakness of this hadith, it's not very, very weak or fabricated. Because if it's very, very weak or fabricated, this is something, it is haram to narrate. The fabricated ones are haram to narrate and to say, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not even ruwiya an Rasulillah. Yani in the method of weakness to say it's been narrated. No. That the Messenger said, this is fabricated, haram to be narrated, because you're lying on the Prophet. That's the first condition. The second one, that the person who is acting upon this hadith, he must know that it is weak. If you're giving this khutbah, you must mention that it has some weaknesses in it. It has some weaknesses in it, so the people know that it is weak and they do not believe it's an authentic fact that came from the Prophet ﷺ. The third, that he does not, even if he wants to act upon it, yani himself, a person who took this hadith and he wants to act upon it, that it does not make it propagated amongst the people, as some would do. They propagate very weak a hadith amongst the people and it becomes like an unquestionable fact. Other ulama put another two conditions, that it has to have some shahid, something, some proofs that it befalls under some of the general rulings of the Sharia. And not to believe also that it is 100% narrated from the Prophet ﷺ. So the ulama, as you see, have put strict conditions on using the da'if. And the correct opinion, inshallah, is if there is authentic, we resort to the authentic and we leave the da'if. If there is no authentic hadith and there is a story with some light weaknesses in it, and the ulama of hadith have said so and stated it is light weaknesses, it is allowed to use in khutab and some lessons just for encouragement and also mentioning that this hadith is weak. So why we are turning away from what the Imam rahimahullah have said in the ad'iyah? Because there is a hadith that is not authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith when you enter, and by saying, ghufranak when you leave the toilet. And then here he said, the Imam rahimahullah, he should enter with his left foot and leave with his right. وَيُقَدِّمُ رِجْلَهُ الْيِسْرَى فِي الدُّخُولِ. As we translated, he said he should enter with his left foot and leave with his right. وَيُقَدِّمُ رِجْلَهُ الْيُمْنَى فِي الْخُرُوجِ. And he should leave يعني with his right foot. As we said, the ulama, all of them have agreed about using the right and using the left. And here he said, وَلَا يَدْخُلُهُ بِشَيْءٍ فِيهِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَّا مِنْ حَاجَةٍ. Pay attention to this, because we all fall into this problem. Here he said, he should not enter the toilet with anything in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned except for an urgent need. يعني you're not allowed to enter the toilet with a mushaf, the Quran, and you're not allowed to enter the toilet with something has the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. T-shirt printed on it, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. T-shirt printed on it, Allahu Akbar walhamdulillah. T-shirt written on it, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should not enter with this. Also, some brothers who wear those necklace with pendant and has Allahu Akbar, Ayatul Kursi, La ilaha illallah, Allahu, whatever, you should not enter with this. Here he said, unless it is, there is a need for it. For example, there is no room to put the mushaf. A woman wearing, for example, pendant from gold, she should not wear it to begin with. But let's say she wore it and she want to enter the kanif, the toilet with it. Then what does she do? Because there is a need, because she takes it out and puts it outside, guarantee she's not going to find it when she comes back. So she enters with it. But why are you wearing it to begin with? And we spoke in the lessons of Tawheed that the most correct opinion, a person should not wear this charms that has Ayatul Kursi and Allah and Subhanallah and La ilaha illallah. Person should stay away from them. Here there is a hadith narrated by Abu Dawood al-Tirmidhi, and this hadith is also weak, that the Prophet ﷺ used to have his ring. It had on it Muhammad Rasulullah. He used to take it out and leave it outside before entering the toilet. This is here, is weak. But the ulama, as we said, agreed, the ulama of fiqh agreed, that you should not enter a toilet with something written the name of Allah on it. Some ulama, they said, if it is wrapped, like you see the mushafs, they are in a leather covers. You zip it and you unzip it. To be fair, some ulama allowed it because they said it is protected and it is not open. But the reality is, if you put it now in your pocket, it's protected. It's not open. This is, some ulama have said this. The most correct opinion, Allahu Alam, that you do not enter the toilet with something that is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. And here he said, وَيَعْتَمِدُ فِي جُلُوسِهِ عَلَىٰ رِجْلِهِ الْيُسْرَىٰ. In his sitting posture, he should rest his weight on his left foot. طيب, here, what is he talking about? Because what you're supposed to do when you enter the toilet, now we have what we call the Frangi toilet. What is the Frangi toilet? Huh? The Western European, you in Urdu is Frangi too? Frangi, طيب, the Frangi toilet, you cannot rest on your left foot because you're meant to be squatting. And that is the sunnah. You're supposed to be squatting. It is flat on the ground. Now, the brothers, the Pakistani brothers, they like to stand actually on the Frangi toilet and squat. That's why when you enter, you find there is footsteps on it and shoes mark on it. You said, how the heck did they get on that? you find it, I mean. But that's how they do. You find it is actually the shoe steps on the toilet. Say, how did he do it? But of course, the most hygienic way is actually those types of toilets, which is what we call the Arabi toilet, which is a flat on the ground and you squat, and this is the best one. Now, if you're not used to it, you're going to find it very, very. Pakistan, it's in everywhere, and it is, sincerely, it is the best toilets used. That is the best, and actually, it's a cleaner and far better. All the rubbish that is inside it comes out when you're squatting because you're putting pressure on your intestine and it does push all the filth out. Here he said, because based on that, he said, وَيَعْتَمِدُ فِي جُلُوسِهِ عَلَىٰ رِجْلِهِ الْيُسْرَىٰ. And he relies in his, when he posture, when he is squatting, on his left foot. Why? Because as we said, the left side is used more for filth than the right-hand side. And this way, the sunnah of using it. Now, of course, entering toilets here, I think public toilets should be avoided as much as you can because of the filth that is in it. Also, there is a hadith which is also weak, narrated by Ibn Abi Shayba and al-Tabarani and al-Bayhaqi, the hadith of Suraqa ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, qala allamana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha dakhala ahaduna al-khala' ay ya'tamida 'ala al-yusra wa yansub al-yumna. That the Prophet Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, if one of us enters the khala' to rely on his left and yansuba al-yumna, to put his right foot upright. وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي الْفَضَاءِ أَبْعَدَ وَاسْتَتَرَ. If one is in an open area, he should move far away, keep himself out of sight, and look for a spot that will absorb his urine. Before we go talking about the spot, here he said, وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي الْفَضَاءِ. The fada is the open space. أَبْعَد, you go far away from the people, and استتر, and covers himself. Covers himself, يعني, he makes sure that no one can see him or see his awrah when he's releasing, yes, the filth, and when he's answering the call of nature. Shuf, the deen of Islam is all of it. Deen of what? Etiquettes and adab. Till today in India, till today, you'll be walking past the street and someone will be standing just doing it on the street. Even some, unfortunately, when we in Hajj, we were using the bus, driving the bus from Medina to Mecca, on the way, you see people in their ihram, just on the side of the road, their awrah showing and they're doing it. I'm not going to mention from which country they come from, but you see it, you say, subhanallah. These people are coming to perform the greatest ibadah in an ihram, and they're on the side of the road. The bus stops for them, and they don't just try to even walk a little bit far away so people cannot see them, or at least cannot figure out what's happening. This, subhanallah al-azim, the Islam is a deen of etiquettes. All of Islam is etiquettes. Yani when the ulama, they say enter with your left foot, and not enter with your right foot, and you lose your left hand, and then use the right hand, and how much water you need to use, or how many times you need to wipe. And أبعد واستتر, go far away and cover yourself, and yet you still see people, unfortunately, even Muslim brothers, on the side of the road, stand and urinate. This والعياذ بالله, not from the etiquettes of Islam. He said in the hadith, and the dalil for that is the hadith narrated by Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu and collected by Bukhari. قال انطلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى توارى عني فقضى حاجته. This is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. He said the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intalaq, yani he went until tawara, he went far away where I cannot see him, faqada hajatahu, to a place that I could not see him anymore, to a distance that I could not see him anymore, and then he answered the call of nature. Here he said, wartada li bawlihi mawdi'an rakhwan. And here he said, and look for a spot that will absorb his urine. Look for a spot will absorb his urine. Why is that? So it doesn't come back and you splash on yourself all the urine. Shuf Islam, how, yani subhanallah, this great deen. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith collected by Imam Ahmad, if one of you want to urinate, let him find a place for his urine, absorbs the urine, so it does not splash back on your clothing and on yourself, like hard rock or hard surfaces, and to look for somewhere that is soft. And we're still talking now about what? Outside. Inside your house, you just go inside the toilet. Easy as that, and make sure you do not splash on yourself. And here he said, وَلَا يَبُولَنَّ فِي ثُقْبٍ وَلَا شَقٍ. And let him not urinate in a hole, nor a or a crevice. Why? No hole or a crevice, because there could be animals there, and you will harm these animals with your urine. And some have said it is probably jinn living in there, or maybe you're sitting, squatting, and then you urinate on something, and something comes out and bites you, or a snake or something, and you could hurt yourself badly. So all of this is from the etiquettes of answering the call of nature. And here he said also, وَلَا tariq, or on a path, the path of people or even the path of animals. You should stay away from the path of people or path of animals, and this is also filth وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And you do not want the walkers and the people walking to step in urine, and you see that. And as you see here, recently in Australia, they made the law that a person could be fined by doing what? By letting his dog urinate or defecate on the street. How many of us, they do just step on it without them noticing. And the najasa of the dog is like the najasa of the human. And now you see him, he's all very well educated, nice and clean and tall, and he bow down to pick up with the bag the stool of the dog. Why keep a dog to begin with? If you have to, probably you won't do it for yourself. And when he's drunk, he does it on the side of the road with no problem. And he becomes worse than his dog when he's drunk. And this is from the etiquettes also, not to urinate or defecate on the street. وَلَا ظِلٍ نَافِعٍ, or in a useful shade, يعني under a tree. And especially in the parks that people regularly use. Some people look for the tree and they do it under the tree, especially in those parks. Some of these parks, people use it, people sit on it. And especially you see them, for example, in the places where all, you see when they hang out down at St. Susie or somewhere, and then he tells his little son, go urinate under the tree. But this tree, people sit under it. Just because he's your little son, his urine is not just like every other human being. You're making this here the tree, and it could harm the tree, and also harm the animal who seeks shade under the tree, and harm the people who are going to sit there. So any shade that is used by the people, you should stay away from it, whether it's under a tree or a shade that is used by the people where people normally sit and use. And then here, the dalil is the hadith that is collected by Imam Muslim عن أبي هريرة مرفوعا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, اتقوا اللاعنين. قالوا وما اللاعنان يا رسول الله؟ قال الذي يتخلى في طريق الناس أو ظلهم. Here he said, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, be aware of the two that causes the curse of people. And they said, what are those two things that cause the curse of people, Ya Rasulullah? He said, the one that urinate or defecate or answer the call of nature, في طريق الناس, on the path of people, or in their shades. Why? Of course, because he harms the people with that. وَلَا تَحْتَ شَجَارَةٍ مُثْمِرَةٍ, nor under a fruitful tree. We spoke about that. But why here he mentioned fruitful tree? Because the fruit can fall and people can pick it up. And also, this is something added, when you urinate, the tree could suck this urine from with its root, yani, and could ruin the fruit. وَلَا يَسْتَقْبِلُ شَمْسًا وَلَا قَمَرًا. And here he said, he must not face towards the sun or the moon. Here the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الْغَائِدْ فَلَا تَسْتَقْبِلُوا قِبْلَهُ وَلَا تَسْتَدْبِرُوهَا وَلَكِنْ شَرِّقُوا أَوْ غَرِّبُوا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you go to answer the call of nature, do not turn towards the Qibla nor give it your back. Instead, go east or west. طيب. Based on this hadith, some ulama said, it is not disliked to face the sun or the moon, because the directions are how many? Four. So if you cannot turn your face towards the Qibla whilst you are answering the call of nature, nor giving your back to it, then you have to turn east or west. In east or west, possibly, or it is the sun towards your east, or towards the west, and also the moon. So that's why a lot of Ahlul Ilm, they said it is not disliked to turn towards the east or the west. And some ulama said, as the Imam Rahimahullah said, that it is disliked to turn towards the sun or the moon. The sun or the moon. But the sun or the moon is no dalil. But the ulama said, because there are two great ayat from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani there are two great creation and miracles from the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Out of honoring them, we should not turn our face to the sun nor the moon. Of course, today, because we are forced and the toilet are built, most of us rent units or buy houses, the toilet already set for you. You have no chance. And even inside this center, you turn your back to the Qibla. As you see the toilet here, your back is towards the Qibla. Now we come to an important point, which is the next point. وَلَا يَسْتَقْبِلُ الْقِبْلَةَ وَلَا يَسْتَدْبِرُهَا لِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا تَسْتَقْبِلُ الْقِبْلَةَ بِغَائِتٍ وَلَا بَوْلٍ وَلَا تَسْتَدْبِرُهَا وَيَجُوزُ ذَلِكَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. I'm going to add these two so we can talk about them both. He must not face towards the sun, and he must turn neither his face nor his back towards the Qibla, direction of the prayer, يعني, because of the saying of Allah's Messenger, do not turn your faces towards the Qibla when defecating or urinating, and do not turn your backs towards it. However, that is permissible inside a building. Now, the issue to turn towards the Qibla or give it your back, the ulama have said, like Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, you're not allowed to turn your face or your back towards the Qibla, regardless whether you are inside the building or outside the building. Again, Imam here rahimahullah, he said, if you are in an open space, you're not allowed to turn your face towards your Qibla nor your back towards the Qibla while you're answering the call of nature. And he said, if it is inside the building, like a building like this, there is no problem with that, because the building acts as a screen between you and the Qibla. This is the Imam rahimahullah, what he said. Other ulama said, it is mutlaq. Yani the hadith, unrestricted. Inside the bunyan, inside the building, or outside the building. The hadith in its meaning is clear, ya ikhwa, isn't it? What the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith, that, and it's an authentic hadith, that do not turn your face nor your back to the Qibla if you are answering the call of nature. What came to make it specific about the bunyan, to talk about the building. Another hadith, which is in Bukhari and Muslim, عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال ارتقيت فوق ظهر بيت حفصة. He said, I ascended over the roof of the house of Hafsa. Who's Hafsa? So what is it related to Abdullah ibn Umar? Brother and sister. So he can ascend on her house. طيب. شوف سبحان الله, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. Imagine your brother-in-law is the Prophet ﷺ. You go to his house anytime you like. Your sister is his wife. What a privilege to have. Subhanallah al-Azim. يعني, what a brother-in-law to have. The Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And your father is Umar radiallahu anhu. يعني, subhanallah, you're blessed. And your sister married يعني, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is, that's why no one can reach what the companions have reached radiallahu anhu. So he ascended on the roof. He said, فَرَأَيْتُ لِبَعْضِ حَاجَتِ يعني, for some of my affairs or things that I want to do. فرأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقضي حاجته مستدبر القبلة مستقبل الشام. He said, I saw the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم مستدبر القبلة. He's giving his back to the قبلة مستقبل الشام. His face towards الشام. So the hadith here testifies that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was giving his back to the قبلة. Inside the bunyan, inside the building. Combining the two ahadith, we conclude that outside the bunyan is what? You cannot turn your face nor your back towards the Qibla. Inside the bunyan is allowed based on عَمَلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, on the act of the Prophet ﷺ. The ulama who said it is not allowed inside the bunyan, and from Ibn Taymiyyah Ibn Al-Qayyim, they said this is specifically for the Prophet ﷺ. This is specifically for the Prophet ﷺ and for none other than the Prophet ﷺ. But the reality of the matter, ya ikhwa, there is no proof for specification. There is no proof to say this is specifically for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, also, what can support that? What is being narrated in Abu Dawood, that Marwan al-Asfar said, I saw Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, anakha rahilatahu mustaqbil al-qibla, thumma جلس يبول إليها. He saw Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه. He أناخ راحلته, يعني his ride. He made it sit, and he facing towards the قبلة. Then he sat urinating. فقلت يا أبا عبد الرحمن أليس قد نهي عن هذا. He said, Oh أبا عبد الرحمن, didn't يعني, isn't it forbidden to do what you're doing? قال بلى. He said, Yes. إنما نهي عن ذلك في الفضاء. It's been forbidden in open spaces. فإذا كان بينك وبين القبلة شيء يسترك فلا بأس. If there is between you and the قبلة something like a screen, then there is no harm in that. Some ulama have weakened this narration to Ibn Umar رضي الله عنه. But what we conclude that if you are in an open space, do not turn your face nor your back towards the قبلة. But if you are in a closed space, like a building, then you can. Here also, there is an issue, as in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَكِنْ شَرِّقُوا أَوْ غَرِّبُوا. He said, do not turn your face nor your back to the Qibla, but turn west or east. Can we apply turn west or east inside Australia?
No.
The Qibla is in our west. He's talking from where he was, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you cannot take this issue west and east and implement it in Australia. Because west here is the Qibla, east is your back on the Qibla. So we say, either turn what? North or south. Because the Qibla changes. We understand the hadith here. Also, there is an important point, which is the issue of urinating standing.
عائشة رضي الله عنها said, من حدثكم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يبول قائما فلا تصدقوه ما كان يبول إلا قاعدا. Authentic hadith narrated by Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that whomever tells you and informs you that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to urinate standing, do not believe him. He never urinated except sitting. And also you have the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, which is muttafaq alayh, yani in Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to a subatat qawm, then he urinated standing. Subatat qawm is the rubbish dump of people. And see here Ibn Hajar, he said in Fath al-Bari, وَالْأَظْهَرُ أَنَّهُ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ لِبَيَانِ الْجَوَازِ وَكَانَ أَكْثَرُ أَحْوَالِهِ الْبَوْلُ عَنْ قُعُودِ. Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, he combined the two ahadith by saying, and the more apparent that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he urinated standing to show it is allowed to do so, but most of the times he urinated while he was sitting. So it is preferred to urinate sitting, not standing for the man. Also, Umar radiallahu anhu said, and this is in Ibn Majah, ما بلت قائما منذ أسلمت. I've never urinated standing since the day I became Muslim. This is what Umar radiallahu anhu said. So as you see here, you need to combine the ahadith that has been narrated, and we can conclude then it is preferred to urinate sitting.
So a man in the clean toilets, which is like the masajid, like places where he knows it is clean, he should not urinate standing. But in a public toilet, like the toilets you find on the streets, or toilet in supermarkets, which is filthy, and the filth could come on your body, because people, of course, here they just urinate and they spray everything. طيب والعياذ بالله, because, yes, you should not urinate sitting, because the filth will come on your thighs and on your body. Be careful. As for in places which is clean, like the masajid, like your home and so on, then urinate sitting. And once you get used to it, then you find it very difficult to urinate standing. And one of the best way, when you urinate sitting, you'll know and you'll see the difference that all the urine would come out easily. But when it's standing, you find not all the urine comes out from your dhakar easily. So very important to take that and note that down. And it is one of the worst things that the brothers who come to the masajid, especially new to Islam, come to the masajid where the masjid, everyone urinates sitting, and the brother decides to urinate standing. You enter the masjid and the toilet and you say urine all over the seat. And this is something you should educate your children from childhood, when they are young, not to do that. And if you are entering the masajid, you should respect the masajid. Let's say you have a problem with your back, you cannot sit or squat or whatever, then make sure you urinate properly when you're standing and you do not spray the urine all over the seat, because the people do sit on it. We summarize everything in a few minutes. What did we speak about from, yani going from the chapter of answering the call of nature? What are the main points we talked about? Yalla, point by point. Before you enter the toilet, what do you say? Bismillah, a'udhu billahi min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. Or, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. When you leave the toilet, you say, ghufranak. Of course, you enter with your left foot, you come out with your right foot. Then, when you are inside the toilet, you mean to sit down and depend on your left side if you can. Of course, if you have the Arabic toilet. Not to have Quran or anything inside the toilet. Also, we forgot to mention not to talk in the toilet and use your mobile phone inside the toilet. Yeah, open a conversation. Yes, how are you? Assalamu alaikum, brother. Remember that the Assalamu alaikum, Assalam is one of the names of whom? Of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be careful of that. Answering the Salam also, it is not allowed in the toilet. Someone knocks on the door, just make a noise of cough, that he knows that someone is there. That is a scary noise, yeah, that's it. See, like a cow in there. Make a noise that people know that there is someone inside. You do not reply the salam. inside when person inside the toilet, of course, and you leave with your right foot. Also, if you are in an open space, you do not urinate on the streets. You find a softer place to urinate on. You do not urinate under a tree or in the shade of people or a fruitful tree. What else? And do not turn towards the Qibla with your face or with your back. Inside the building, we said the correct opinion, inshallah, that it is allowed. A couple of questions, inshallah. The iPhone with the Mus'haf in it, yes, you can. Yes, you can take the iPhone inside the Mus'haf in it. Also, that brings my attention to another important point. SubhanAllah, there's so many issues relating to this point. It's good they came out when we have question and answers. Anashid as a ringtone, and Quran as a ringtone, and Adan as a ringtone. Sometimes you're in the toilet and just goes off, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And this is mentioning the name of Allah inside the toilet. Or comes out as Anashid, and of course all the Islamic Anashid has the name of Allah and Tawheed and whatever is in it, and Islam and Allahu Akbar and Alhamdulillah, all of that is said inside the toilet. So that's why we repeat it and say again and again and again. Please do not use the Adhan, please do not use the Quran as a ringtone, because there is in it also a mockery to the Adhan and a mockery to the Quran. Do not use it. But the downloaded Quran inside the iPhone, as long as you don't have it open on that page, you know how when you open it, you switch it off and it goes black, then this is not considered a Mus'haf nor Kalamullah, it is switched off altogether, then you can. Khalas, yani the name of Allah should be avoided. But the driver's license, why we say the driver's license? لَأَنُّ هَذَا مِمَّا تَعْمُوا بِهِ الْبَلْوَى. Yani everyone has it. And it is put in the pocket. That's why. You can enter the toilet with it. Because when something becomes too difficult to avoid, the Sharia overlooks it. But someone who carries a Mus'haf, like this one, what is the need for you to take it inside? That's what we're saying. Also, for example, you have the book of Afkar, Hisnul Muslim. You can take it out. It's in your pocket. But things when become too hard to avoid, like a driver's license, like a passport written Muhammad, Abdullah, Muhammad, Al-Husayni, for example. It's like the name of Allah. So this is very difficult. Same thing we say, for example, there is no need for the brother to wear pendant with Ayat al-Kursi on it. But if it is made of gold, a sister wearing it, and what does she do now? Mafhoom? That's the point. This is the same thing. When something becomes too difficult to avoid, then it is overlooked by the Sharia.